Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to grab your boards and hit the waves, because we're going to talk about boards. Not those kind of boards. We're talking about nonprofit boards here with some real experts in the field, starting with our host, Nelma Maddox. Welcome, Nelma.
Thank you, Paul.
I hear
you. It's good to see you again.
I always love it when they introduce, I meet the guests beforehand, and they say, who are you? And I'm trying to write their name down. And I said, we're looking for experts on boards here. And one of your guests says to the other one, this is the guy that wrote the book.
So yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
This is a real treat. So first of all, let's introduce Dean Yost, who's the one who supposedly wrote a book, which is fantastic, maybe one or more. And then David Chavez is here as well. They've both been on the UCI Executive Council, so we do need to correct that. It's not officially a board, but it is an Executive Council. We'll talk about the differences today. Show 11 kind of blows me away. Super, super honored to be here with you two. I have served on the Executive Council, and it was a blast. I plan to return at some point in time in life.
Good. We want you back.
And I'm not doing this full-time work. So let's dive right in. Dean, did you write a book?
Yes. Yes. In fact, later this summer, my 8th book on corporate governance will be published.
What?
And I've written these books really to stay current, to learn.
Yeah.
It's a learning journey to write a book. And I impart my insights and my experience, and hopefully board members and executives take the book and absorb what I've written.
That is incredible. So let's talk a little bit
about... And what's the name of the book?
Name of the book.
There's 8 of them.
Yeah.
The most recent one.
The one that will be published this summer is The Board Oversight of the Risk of Generative AI.
Amazing.
So the last couple of books, I've gone into the technology space.
Okay.
I told you he was the guru.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were not lying. Okay, when you and I had coffee, you and I had a little moment of exchange where we sat and talked a little bit about how Dean has been the chairperson of UCI Diabetes, and we'll talk a little bit about that, the mission, because I think that's important. Both of you can chime in. But I think it's important for us to say that David and myself decided that we both are just in the position of, we don't ever want to let a leader like you down.
Thank you for saying that.
Is that something you've heard before?
Thank you for saying that.
Yes. So in many of our meetings, we would find ourselves putting our heads together and thinking about, how do we do something different for UCI Diabetes Center? And how do we get more people involved and different people involved? And then Dave and I would be like, all of a sudden, we're writing checks.
He's got this unbelievable skill, and anybody who knows Dean is privy to this. You'll leave a meeting with Dean with 3 to-dos that you don't know how you acquired them, but they came from him, and you're happy to do them.
Yes.
It's just a great skill that he's got. He's not only busy doing his own work, but he's great at delegating.
So the secret sauce there is to chair the meeting, solicit input.
Yeah.
If people come up with creative ideas, that's fantastic. They implement.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, the great idea. It's like, you're in charge of that.
Great.
I feel like that happened to me one time when I suggested a May research night of some kind, and that ended up being great. So let's go back a little bit. Can we talk a little bit about the mission of UCI Diabetes and how it all began?
Yeah, well, like we said, this is not a board of directors. It has no statutory authority. It is an executive council at UCI, and our mission is twofold. One is to raise money for research in diabetes on campus at UCI. And the other mission is to be a champion of whatever happens relative to diabetes at UCI, either clinical research or preventive.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So raising money and raising awareness.
Beautiful. So you joined, it sounds, 1 year after Dean did.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that first event and sort of the progress.
We've come a long way. Yeah, so I was invited to the first one. It was at an Italian restaurant, and everything is grassroots in this organization. There may have been 50 people at this restaurant, and talked about the mission, talked about the doctor at the head of the organization and what his qualifications were and what the ultimate goals were.
Yeah.
And I was really inspired at that first meeting, first event, and then I joined, and I've been with it ever since. So
yeah.
I'm in at year 2. And we've grown tremendously since then.
Yeah, unstoppable. Can we share with the audience what the dollar amount was at that time? I remember you guys saying it.
Oh, that we raised?
Yes, that first night.
I think it was under $20,000.
I think it was about $7,000.
Yeah, and frankly, I was thrilled. I had never raised any kind of money before, and that small amount was just a powerful number. And we've grown from there.
Think of what you've done, the exponential growth, and then the type of people. So I think this is a good time to kind of shout out and give a shout out to Adrienne. I just think the world of her. The world doesn't, this nonprofit world doesn't go around without people like her and hearts like hers. I know she's inspired by her family. And I just wondered what inspired the both of you. David, do you want to start by why you stay?
Sure. Sure. The timing was perfect. There, I have diabetes in my family. Fortunately, I'm very fortunate that I don't have it personally, but I have it in my family. So I've seen the devastating effects of diabetes. And I was, of course, inspired to do whatever I could to help find a cure. It just so happened at the same time, my employer was saying, hey, somebody at your position, you need to get involved in the community. It can be anything of your choice, but you need to get involved. So that was right around the time that I attended the first event for the UCI Diabetes Center. I said, this is it.
Incredible.
Perfect fit.
God bless employers that actually do that. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. And I do know in Orange County there are quite a few. Yeah. Dean, what about you? Are you inspired to stay and lead?
It was by happenstance. I was getting involved with UCI in the business school, and I felt that I wanted to kind of diversify my experiences. And I happened to be at a dinner at the business school, and I was sitting next to the CEO of the UCI hospital. And I told him exactly what I described. And about a month later, the head of the diabetes center reached out to me. He came over to my office. We had coffee. And he suggested that he was looking to have more outreach into the community. I wasn't really sure what he was talking about, but that was the start of the executive council. That I thought this is a defined area. It's diabetes. It's part of UCI Health. Clearly, you don't have to, when you go out and fundraise, you don't have to describe in this community what UCI is.
Yeah.
You also have to do not need to describe what diabetes is. So from a talking point standpoint, it's pretty straightforward. But that was really the start of it. It was based on them, the UCI Diabetes Center, outreaching to me that they were looking for involvement of the community, and that's where we started.
It's phenomenal.
Can I tell you how special that is?
Yeah.
Because I'd say 99% of the people on the council either have diabetes or they have it in their family. It's close to home. Dean is the chairman. He's our leader, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just something he does out of benevolence. I think that's pretty special.
I always wondered that. It really did cross my mind, and the dedication that you and May have to the organization. May is his lovely wife for the audience, and then David is married to JoJo, and just, I would say, the four of them are always involved, elbows in, just getting to work, and I think that's one of the things that I fell in love with about this organization was everybody has these ideas, and of course are tasked with the ideas, but at the same time, we do an event or two every year, and it ends up being a really good time for such a great cause. Maybe let's spend some time on the evolution of the event. When I kind of left off, I know I started in 2019, and then we did the event at Newport Beach Country Club. It sounds like we're going to change venues this year. Tell us a little bit about it. It's on November 12th, I hear.
You want to talk about Falling Leaves?
So our event, we've had an annual fundraising event now for 18 years, our entire existence. As David indicated, it started off at the back of a restaurant. It was pretty informal.
Yeah.
It grew at one point pre-COVID. I think we attracted 350 people at the Newport Beach Country Club. We raised quite a bit of money. We had a professional auctioneer.
Yeah.
It was short of a gala. The reason for that is I never felt the benefit of going to a fundraising gala where ice sculptures are on your table and they're melting and somebody paid for that. And I thought, well, that seems like a waste of money.
Yep.
So ours was short of a gala, but it was a grand event. But fundraising has changed over time, particularly given COVID.
Yeah.
We were stymied for, I don't know, a year or two given COVID.
I remember,
So we didn't really have an event in those years. But when we kicked back, it was just a different dynamics. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we're changing the model, the operating model we have. What we plan to do on November 12th is to have an educational session where we have three outstanding speakers. We got the dean of the School of Medicine at UCI who's going to present.
Yeah.
We have an education session that'll last probably 60 to 90 minutes. After the reception, after that, we'll go to a private thank you dinner. Not a fundraiser, but a thank you dinner for all of those individuals who have been gracious and donors in our past.
Wow, wonderful.
The fundraising will be in and around that, but more importantly, it'll be follow-up. And we think that model is much more effective because it's a personal touch with the development office actually outreaching to the people who participated, those that want to be outreached to.
Yeah.
And we think it's more reactive to how the fundraising environment has changed.
I think that's a great way to kind of shift gears and talk a little bit about the Executive Council and how those meetings have changed. The mm-hmm. things I remember is listening to the researchers who have had seeded grants. Can you give me a little bit of follow-up on that, David?
Yeah, we've been inviting them in more and more, actually. And what we are able to raise for the Executive Council and all the spouses' efforts on these annual events, we leverage those dollars. First of all, I'd like to say that 100% of what we raise mm-hmm. goes to the cause. There's no overhead. If we raise a dollar, it goes towards research or clinical work. And then beyond that, we just continue to grow as we can as a grassroots organization. You had a specific question there.
Specifically about some of the grants that are seeded and turned into some of the grants that Dr. Young's
yes.
been able to convert.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. So when we leverage a dollar, when we raise a dollar, we can leverage that through NIH grants. So for example, I think we raised a few hundred thousand one year, and then through an NIH grant, that was leveraged into $4.4 million. So really the money that we raise from a grassroots level can go a lot further than you would think.
Yeah, what we've been doing the last couple of years with Dr. Yang being our leader, he's the head of the Diabetes
yeah.
Center, we raise the money and we've been granting 4 or 5 seed grants of $50,000 each to researchers on campus. That money is used to fund initial startup projects that these researchers can use to put in their grant requests. And hopefully, through that process, they will be given a grant by the government. And as David indicated, that can be a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's very leverageable in terms of what we raise.
But you have to have those starting funds to be able to get your program off the ground. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the seed funding, you're not going to get the NIH grant.
And that's what I love about this organization, though, is what you said. We didn't need a gala. We didn't need ice sculptures. It was such a good event in terms of everything that turned around. It was simple. It was classy. But it was there for a cause. And there was always the mission. There was always somebody who stood up in the front, and you were able to get deans or heads of the hospital, in any case, to speak on its behalf. And I know UCI Diabetes does compete with other diabetes organizations, for instance. I won't name them, but at the same mm-hmm. time, our mission was always so simple and yet meaningful to understand. I loved the focus on type 1, for instance, because I have many friends who have been diagnosed with type 1, as research to cure is very important in that population of patients. Man, I do also want to talk about, Dean, that did you start a panel or a mini
subset? Mm-hmm.
I loved that you did this for the local community. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The UCI Orange County Alliance?
Yes.
So 5 years ago, I'm a trustee of the UCI Foundation. Another trustee and I got together, and we were talking about the fact that today's demographics in California, adults age 24 and below are already 50% Latino. The UCI student population is already 30% Latino. Mm. Yet, as we looked around, for example, on the foundation board, there were no trustees that were Latino. And there was very little community involvement from the Latino community to support the students on campus.
Right.
It was all individually done. But we needed to bring the Latino community on campus to help the student. So we met with the chancellor and the provost and described what we saw as a problem. And we were prepared to put some effort behind this. And with a Latino friend of ours, the three of us started this organization that became known as the UCI Orange County Alliance. And what our mission has been for the last 5 years is to bring the Latino community on campus to the benefit of the students. As we sit here today, we have 53 members, community leaders.
Oh, phenomenal.
That participate in the schools and programs on campus.
Okay.
We have 6 Latino trustees of the UCI
wow.
Foundation, where 5 years ago we had none.
Okay.
David Chavez is one of our members.
Yeah. It's another one of those meetings where I left. Wait a minute, how did I end up on this organization? Yeah.
Why am I on this committee again?
No,
but the reality is if you want to get engaged with the Latino community in Orange County, this is the organization that's really the center.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's another great effort for that organization. Me and some other outstanding professionals that I'm so lucky to be involved with, we do financial literacy courses for college, high school, and even middle school people. You know, in every community, but particularly in the Latino community, there is no formal financial education. So just the basics are important.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the things I really wanted to talk about today. So thank you for enlightening me on that. I know this time went super, super fast, but I do want to just address anything that you guys wanted to come and share. How does someone get involved? What is it that you're looking for to join your executive council at any given time?
The criteria are pretty straightforward. They're not overly complex. You would need to have an interest in helping those that are either inflicted or could be inflicted with this insidious disease.
Yeah.
So passion for diabetes and trying to be helpful, I think, is a number one factor. You have to be willing to champion not only UCI and UCI Health, but the diabetes cause and the Diabetes Center. And you have to be willing to go out and try to raise money.
Yeah.
Now, we don't ask for a sizable financial commitment. We do ask for a financial commitment. We think it's very reasonable. And it's either you either contribute that amount of money or you try to get that kind of money.
Yeah.
The criteria is flexible. We recognize that people, their lives ebb and flow. Some years you're more active than others. Yeah. But we try to have participation from everyone. I must admit right now, we've probably got one of the most enthusiastic executive councils that we've had.
That's phenomenal.
We've got 12 members. We're always looking to grow and expand contacts.
Yeah.
But Nelma, you've had this experience. When we're done with the fundraising and we do the accounting for the year and we look at our achievements, it's really a sense of pride and it's ownership of taking on a mission that's important for a lot of people. And it does have a significant impact. When I retired, my background is business. When I retired from business, I started to gravitate toward nonprofit organizations in part, and I joined a number of them at the outset. But I quickly came to the conclusion that I needed to get a deeper involvement with an organization.
Yeah, I agree.
So I cut back. This is my only nonprofit that I'm involved with, but I'm passionate about it, and I try to devote my time and attention with the whole value proposition really measurable.
It shows. Yeah, thank you.
Very well said. The only thing I'd add to that is the folks on the committee, we not only donate individually, and they have been very flexible. I joined 18 years ago. 18 years ago, I couldn't contribute what I contribute today, so it's grown over time.
Yeah.
And then we also ask that you ask your employer.
Yeah.
They'll match and sometimes go well beyond that as a corporate donor. So between the individual donations and the corporate donations, it's been significant through the years.
I love it. Is anybody that we were missing to give a shout out to? I do want to thank Rhonda for bringing me to meet you at what point in time.
Rhonda Halverson is a development officer at UCI. She's retiring now at the end of this month.
Yeah.
But she's been wonderful for us.
For sure. That's going to be a loss. But she for sure also has your talent.
Yeah.
It was just been wonderful to know you both. So thank you for being on. I do want to say this is one of the 9,000 nonprofits in Orange County where you can give time and treasure. So audience, if you're listening, please get involved. Look them up under UCI Health. Find me on LinkedIn or find us through Paul Roberts.
Yes, great. Always looking for donations and always looking for new members.
That sounds great.
Thanks, Nelma.
Thanks again for coming in.
Thanks, Nelma.
It went fast.
Wow, it did go fast. But that's why you tune in again and again, because you don't want to miss any of them here as we continue to our exploration of nonprofit boards on Board Talk right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.